everybody. It's Dr. Deb Lynn here with another episode of PTSD and Beyond. I got another special guest today. Isn't it really super cool? Each week, there's always somebody super special that comes on. And I say super special because in addition to being subject matter experts, these are folks who've taken their time to be with us for the time that we are here today to share with you their stories, to share with you experiences, to share knowledge and information, as well as things that you can do after the podcast to help you with your mental health, your PTSD journey, and overall wellness and happiness in life. And today's topic and subject matter expert and guest brings us something that is really super cool. Okay. I'm talking so cool that you're going to think to yourself, all right, I got to really listen up, play this back and take some notes. So before I introduce our special guest, let me just share some things about this person. Their credentials are going to blow you away. First of all, he is a certified by the American Council on Exercise, both in personal training and health coaching. Okay. So, you know, right there, that your subject matter expert you're going to hear from today is going to bring you some awesome stuff. The other thing about this person is they hold a diploma in holistic health practice, and they are a Usui Reiki master. This individual is a retired after 25 years at the rank of lieutenant paramedic from the LSIP Fire Department. And another thing that I have to say, I know this person personally, and they touch so many hearts every week. You'll hear many different quotes and snippets that I know are just going to touch you, and you're going to say, wow, that really relates to me. And here's one quote that this person often says: to make the world a better place by assisting others in achieving a more balanced life. Folks, I want to give it a huge heartfelt welcome to Tim Grucius. Hey, Tim, how's it going?
Good, Dr. Deb. How are you doing?
I'm doing really well. Really well. Thank you. Thanks for being here today and talking to our group of listeners, as well as our PTSD and Beyond community. And today you're going to share with us, first off, about yourself, and then we're going to jump into the topic of energy. So can you share with people a little bit more about you?
Yes, I sure can. As you had already said, I was with the LSIP Fire Department for 25 years, but my life in public service started in 1989 when I volunteered to be in the Army. And then after I got out from a three-year stint there, worked a little bit in the private ambulance or the private sector, and then I got hired by LSIP. And it was, to say the least, it was a very difficult job. Not only physically, but mentally and emotionally. And my trigger for PTSD was the witness suicide of one of my colleagues in 1998. And I struggled for over 16 years with ups and downs of undiagnosed PTSD. And it wasn't until I had my association with the training at the Illinois Firefighter Peer Support, the very first class that they ever put on, when the instructor, who was a licensed professional clinical counselor and our clinical director at the time for the team, started talking about PTSD and all these different mental health issues that first responders could be subject to. And that's when I sat there and go, man, I got a problem. And I sat down with him and I said, you know what? I think I'm going to take your offer up and go to come see you for therapy. I did that. And after five sessions, I was released. She said, you're a pretty independent thinker. At the same time, I was doing holistic measures by like chiropractic care, massage therapy. And I started with acupuncture. And that really brought out a lot of dark demons out of the basement that I needed the therapy just to help me along. One of the gals that worked in the chiropractor's office was also a Reiki practitioner. And she said, you know what, why don't you come to see me and we could do Reiki. So that was it wasn't my first experience, but it was a long-term experience with Reiki. And then she said, you know what, you should get your attunements to Reiki, you know, at least, you know, that level one where you could work on yourself and maybe level two to work with others. And then I just kept on going and going. And completed at the end of 2018 a year-long Reiki Master apprenticeship program, and I do personal training now, and I also volunteer not only with Illinois Firefighter Pearson, but with an instructor with the Firefighter Cancer Support Network, and I am a volunteer with a holistic riding equestrian team that provides equine assisted learning or horse therapy for developmentally disabled children and a little bit adults. They do have a veterans program, but I think that's just in the works right now. So that's where I stand right now. And I've been retired since May of last year.
That's awesome. That's awesome. There's a lot of things that you've done to help yourself as well as help others. And one thing that I have found is that when we start doing the work on self-healing and self-help, and then we have an outreach to others in other places, that people feel really comfortable to have us help them and for them to receive the assistance, because whether our details might be a little bit different, our experiences in the sense of what we feel and what we experience and go through mirrors and looks the same. And so thank you for doing like the fire service work as well as being in the Army, and then now being, you know, a peer advocate as well as a practitioner in helping folks overcome symptoms and challenges with post-traumatic stress and fire service, as well as with the youth and in the community. So my next question, I got to ask this question. When Reiki was first positioned and suggested, what was your initial thought? I mean, as a firefighter, right, and a guy from the Army, what was your initial thought on the suggestion of actually having what we would call, you know, integrative or alternative wellness therapies? What was like kind of your thoughts on that?
Well, I was exposed to it because I, through the American College of Healthcare Sciences, that's where I received my holistic health practice and certificate in wellness consulting from them. I was exposed to a lot of alternative therapies. When I had just first started going to counseling in 2014, a friend of mine on the fire department, him and his wife were already Reiki masters. So we had conversations, and his wife came over and she did a session with me. So that was my first exposure. And then it wasn't until probably a year and a half, almost 2 years later, is when I started going for just regular treatment. So I was totally comfortable with it because I've had the experience before. Mm-hmm. And it was that very first treatment in 2014 I ever had was very powerful experience to help cleanse and rebalance the chakras for myself. So it was really, for me, it was just an easy grab to take the suggestion and go.
Well, let's back up a few steps here, because you've mentioned a few things like chakras, Reiki, and energy. So for folks who are listening right now and thinking, okay, I've heard about this stuff, but I don't really know what it is. So help our listeners understand what exactly is energy.
All right. When it comes to energy, or when you're talking about this shared energy, this shared Reiki energy, and it promotes stress reduction, balance to the mind, body, and spirit of the client. I had to come up with my own definition. It was that it's a complementary modality where I channel energy either through hovered hands or light touch. But at the end of the day, I'm not a healer. I cannot call myself a healer because that would be practicing medicine without a license. The healing is actually the person. When I work on myself, I'm healing myself. I am then a healer for myself. But when I share this Reiki with others, the healing, they're the healer. The healing is an inside job, and that's where the Reiki journey begins. But when I talk about Reiki in general, this could be an abstract concept for people. And they're like, well, how do you know that this is working? Some people say it's pseudoscience or just a placebo effect. But I always start with talking about known sources of energy. So we have thermal, which would be fire. And that's something that I lived the better part of my life with, trying to battle that. But if you take a match, you strike it, light a piece of paper, that's an energy source. We could physically see that. You have chemical energy, which is, you know, maybe you mix two chemicals together and they cause some type of reaction. You could see that. There's nuclear. You could see the results. We did see the results. Well, we didn't. We're not old enough for that. But when they had, you know, the bombing of Hiroshima and Nagasaki, that's a really extreme example of the use of nuclear energy. But it leads into electrical energy. That's something that we see because we could turn on the light switch, turn on a TV. But in reality, can we see electricity? Do we see it running through all the wires in our house through right. that plug in a wall? We really don't see that, except maybe we see an arc or a spark, something like that. So although we don't see it, we believe it. We know that it exists and it helps us do so many things in this world. Sound energy. Sound right. is created by, you know, waves, and that goes into, you know, it gets goes through our tympanic membrane, the eardrum, and it really, the brain is what processes that. And that's something we can't see, the sound energy. Right. We just know it when we hear it and things like that. So really, when I'm going to start talking about Reiki, it's this energy. Most of these forms of energy, we can't see it, like gravitational energy. Mm-hmm. We know it exists because Newton said, take an apple, drop it, boom, it's still there. We know when gravitational energy is not there, when you have the astronauts in space, they're floating around, they're out of the Earth's gravitational pull. Again, it's something that we cannot see or really feel, but we know that it exists because we're held to this Earth by that. So when we talk about Reiki, it really what, and I guess I'll start with talking about the chakras. And that's a chakra is a Sanskrit word that means spinning wheel or like a spinning vortex. And it's spinning. There's seven primary chakras, and they're spinning. If they spin in a certain way and they're in balance, then everything else goes along with it. Each chakra corresponds, and it runs along our spinal column, but each chakra corresponds to certain areas of the body, as well as emotional or physical needs. So you have the base chakra, the root chakra, which is associated with the color red, and that's where we get more of our grounding energy, our security. If it's out of balance, we may feel insecure, or mm-hmm. let's talk about anxiety, panic attacks, things like that. Then you have the second chakra, which is the sacral, which is associated with the color orange. And that is that houses the reproductive organs, as well as our center or area of creativity. So if you had, you know, like problems, like say a urinary tract infection, if you might get frequent ones, your sacral chakra could be out of balance. Then you have the third chakra, and these all move up from the base of the spine upward. The third chakra is hover around the navel area, and that's our seat of power. It's our seat of confidence. So if you have issues with that, or if you have digestive issues, that chakra could be out of balance. Then those three make up what's called the lower triangle. And then you have the heart chakra, which is the fourth. And that is the gateway to what will be the upper three chakras. And the heart is associated with love, the color green. Again, if you have issues with love, self-love, or like hate, things like that, that chakra could be out of balance, as well as if you have any respiratory issues. Then we have the fifth chakra associated with the color blue, which is the throat chakra. And that is where we speak our truth. Mm-hmm. And if you have difficulty communicating overall, or you're communicating in an inappropriate manner, or if you have sore throats, frequent issues with your the throat area, or even like your upper digestive area, that chakra could be out of balance. Then we have the sixth chakra, which is called the third eye, and that's centered right in between, right in the forehead, in between the eyes, and that's our seat of intuition. So if we have issues with not relying on our intuition, or it's not exactly where we think it should be. Or if you have frequent headaches, migraines, you might have imbalances with the third eye chakra. And then there's the crown chakra, which is located at the top of the head. And that's what connects us to source, to the universe. And it just depends on, this doesn't have any religious connotation, but some people will say God, universe, source, creator. Yep. That's right. What that chakra, expands us to connect with the universe. So that's the real quick primer on the chakras and how they could be balancing out of, if they're out of balance, you need work with, you know, with a Reiki practitioner on.
One thing that I like to explain, a way that I like to explain what chakras are for folks, is to explain that and to say that each chakra is an energy center, and that it works on its own as well as with all of the other chakras, right? Because if one's off balance, it can affect the other. So it's an energy center that's specific for, say, you know, the root chakra for grounding, or, you know, the throat chakra, you know, for communication. And it's interesting when you ask people, you explain to folks, okay, so here's the seven chakras. This is where they're located, you know, what they mean, right? What they're known for. The energy center is known for, right? Each one of them is specific. And then when you ask them the question, where do you struggle? And that basic question of where do you struggle? And they go through the list of the chakras, and the people will put little check marks. Yep, this one I really struggle with. Now, the struggle can be a predominant struggle, meaning it's there all the time. It can also be, I'm struggling with this today. Now, folks that are listening, you can ask yourself the question based on the description that Tim gave of the seven chakras. With my post-traumatic stress, with my mental health and my mental wellness, which one of these is the most challenging? And where am I at today? So as you're asking yourself those questions, by the time we're finished with today's podcast, you'll have some things that you can do and that you can use to go through some healing for yourself. And I don't mean healing again, like medical practitioner. Also, we're talking about using energy to heal thyself. Now, Tim, you touched on something, which is the placebo effect. And I recently put something out on Twitter. I posted something about the value of the placebo effect shows us scientifically the power of the mind and body. There's a, like, you know, Louise Hay, you know, and
right, yes,
in her book about, you know, healing yourself, and all of her work that she did and her legacy continues about how we can change and make changes for ourselves. And when folks think about utilizing different practices such as Reiki, let's talk to people about what does a session actually look like? Because somebody might be saying, you know what? All of this makes sense. I've never had it before. So what would I experience? What would it be like? Because that's something that comes up too before I do a session with somebody. They're like, okay, what am I supposed to expect here? Like, and I do hands-off. I always do hands-off sessions. So what, help people understand, well, what's the typical session like?
Right. And when you use the word, you can't really use the word typical, because every person is on their own unique journey. So they're not, what one person may experience, another might not. And I've had clients that have referred other people, and they're not, and the experience I have with them is totally different. I could really tell when somebody is, you know, they're out of sorts or out of balance versus somebody that they're just looking to maybe get a little bit of stress reduction or relaxation, and their chakras are really open and, you know, flowing freely. But, you know, I'm sitting in my office right now that I use as my treatment room, and it's the color green was painted, and that was at the suggestion of my friend's wife. That's, you know, green is associated with healing, warmth, comfort. I use a massage table. I set it up and I put like sheets on it. This is all you're fully clothed when this happened. And I usually what I start a session with, and every practitioner is different, but I start with a mutual saging, using the sage, so that sacred smoke to clear a negative energy and try to get rid of that out and before you go into a session. So I will sage the client and then I'll have them sage me. I have relaxation music played. Sometimes if I've worked with a client more than once, just based on whatever I had from that previous session, I might play a music or something may come to mind to play a song that would be really pertinent or valuable to that client. But usually I have them lay down, and I use crystals, and that's a whole other, could be a whole other discussion, but I use crystals, certain quartz crystals, which I will take the points and face them outward if they need to be getting rid of something. And then inward, if they really, you know, we want to draw on some really good energy for them. And this is all really based on the consultation or that conversation that you had before with them. Like, what are you looking to get out of the session? What kind of things are you dealing with right now? And then you can use hovered hands over, but what I like to use that I learned as an advanced tool is to use the pendulum, which, you know, you hold it over like several inches above their body. And then I start from the root chakra and work all the way up. And if something is blocked, and again, if you're going to use a pendulum as a practitioner, you want to make sure that it resonates with you. And usually, as my Reiki master instructor taught me, it chooses you. You don't choose the pendulum. Right. And that could be just by, you know, it's energetically, they start moving or you get a lot of activity. Right. But if something's blocked, it swings side to side. So you'd have to really close your eyes and imagine that it swings side to side. If it's something that's open, that chakra is going to swing in a clockwise manner. If it's really open, it swings really, really wide circles. If it's neutral, meaning it's neither blocked or it's open, then it just sits still there. So I go above them. I'll do that, the scan. Then I'll usually lay the stones, and I have stones that correspond to each chakra, and it gets laid on their body. If it's a child or younger, especially if they're under age 18, then a parent has to be present in the room with me, and they're off to the side. I have a chair for them, and put those on, put the quartz crystals facing the way I believe it is. And then I just do I start scanning with the, after I've scanned with the pendulum, I know where to really start going to work. I do light touch, which usually it's to the feet or to the shoulders or to the head. And then rest of the way it's hovered hands over. There's several other different techniques that you can use. And it's like visualization. It's something called a taffy pull technique, where you're like, feel and you're drawing that energy out. You could feel where the blockage is, and you're pulling it out, and you're like dumping it into this imaginary bucket, and you're getting rid of it. Usually what I do then is I take them through a guided meditation. It's usually I could use an example of one. You know, you're going to be going into like a waterfall. You're standing under a waterfall, and I want you to just visualize that it changes colors, and for a while it's going to be red, and then it'll be orange, and then it's bathing you. And if it's really a truly one chakra issue, then I'll just use that color and stick with that. With a child, I use balloons. I want you to imagine that you're catching these balloons and you're holding them, and they hold this energy and this Reiki love and light that's going to surround you and bathe you and make you relax and just let go of your worries. Once I'm through with the guided meditation, then I take what's known as Palo Santo, which is holy wood, and that's used for balancing, unlike the sage that's used for clearing. So I'll light that. Then you just smoke it up, and I use a feather, and I have a abalone shell, and I just hold it in that, and then you just go around them, you balance them, and then I bring them. Sometimes I'll use a singing bowl, which will just raise the vibration of the room. And it just, that varies from client to client. Or I have a meditation chime that Judy had bought me, and I'll use that. I'll say on the third chime, you're going to come back into your body, come back into yourself. And then after that, we do a debriefing, and I ask them, you know, if they want to share anything out of what they got out of that guided meditation and things like that. And then I'll recommend things if they have a certain block chakra. I usually send them just basic information from a website that I found, and it gives them the basic, you know, goes through the basic primer. This is the chakras. If you have a block chakra with this, and the last client I had, she asked, can you send me something or give me something? How do I work on that? If, let's say, somebody had a throat chakra issue, singing would be a way. Wearing the color blue, whatever chakra's block, right, you want to wear that predominant color. So right, then that'll get them, you know, it's just things like that. Or let's say food, blueberries.
Right.
If they're, as long as they're not allergic to these foods, you eat something blue in that blue family or blue color. If it was a root chakra, you could eat an apple, red pepper, things like that. That'll help nourish those chakras as well.
So that's actually a really good point. So one of the things that we like to do on PTSD and Beyond is to give people things that they can use after the podcast is over with, so people can re-listen to this. So here's an action item, guys, that you can actually use that Tim is suggesting. So once you go through that list of the seven chakras, if you identify one area that, say, you know, the most challenging, you can go ahead and nourish that area with the color that it's associated with. So whether it's a scarf or a piece of clothing, people can even consider having like a rice pack or a neck warmer. If it's like, say, the chakra of the throat, you can also have a blanket over the stomach or even on the legs for the root, and in a very specific color. So for example, for me right now on my desk in my office, I have this doll. It was from when I was a kid. I call her Mrs. Beanie, and she is this cute little thing and yellow. And so my stomach, I find that I have, you know, stomach challenges. And so yellow is a color that I try to wear off and as well as have around me. And, you know, I love yellow peppers. So again, folks that are listening, identify the chakra. That's the first step. The second thing is to be aware of what color is associated with that chakra. That's the second part. The third thing then is to nourish that chakra area with the color that's associated with, whether it's by a clothing item or food, like Tim mentioned, if it's, you know, throat, you can have blue for blueberries, red peppers, yellow peppers, there's yellow squash, green, you know, you can think of zucchini, spinach, you know, leaf lettuce, there's red for apples, there's all kinds. And you know, the cool thing about this conversation, Tim, it also has people then thinking about mindful eating. So we're caring for ourselves with energy as well as taking mindfulness to, you know, another level in addition to meditation. So I want to ask this question here because I'm sure that people are probably wondering, because I'm wondering too. So how did and how does, you know, energy and Reiki practice help us with post-traumatic stress?
All right. What I'll do is I have a story that I had to write for my Reiki, the apprentice program. And I have several different stories, but there's one that I titled, and it's just really a few sentences about letting go of control. And again, as I said before, that Reiki promotes stress reduction and balance to the mind, body, and spirit of the client. Will those signs and symptoms of PTSD totally go away? Probably not. This is something that's, you know, whatever's our major trigger, it's imprinted in our brain, but we can minimize, you know, really post-traumatic stress at its height is an exaggerated anxiety response or stress response. So if you can work to lessen that, that's how it's going. That it would help. It's more to provide that, promote that relaxation. And sometimes it evokes, like when I do these guided meditations, it evokes an emotional response out of people where they're crying and letting go of that stuff. And it's really, you know, when we're bound, when we have this PTSD, we're trying to control and keep this, whatever it was that happened to us. And it's not just one trauma. There's micro traumas that happen to us throughout our entire life. But one thing might be that big stressor, and we want to hold on. We want to control it, or we want to tamp down that anxiety that we feel if we're ever triggered. And
right.
Really, it's about letting go of control. So this is what I had said, because I not only was I in counseling once, I was in counseling twice, and the second time lasted 9 months, and it was dealing more with the emotional aspect of things. And this is what I said about that. I said, 9 months into counseling for PTSD, I had yet to surrender the control I held over my emotions. I received one of the most powerful Reiki sessions from Shannon, who's my Reiki master teacher, where it felt as if my body was on fire. It was during this treatment that she assisted me to energetically let go of control issues that had plagued me the better part of my life. I returned to what would be my last counseling session, and with the assistance of Reiki, I was finally able to relinquish control of my emotions. This was something my therapist had waited to see happen during the entire course of our professional relationship. This is the most peaceful I have ever felt in my life, and all I had to do was bow to the teacher within.
Wow, that is so powerful.
And that, where that comes from, the bow to the teacher within, I also practice a form of yoga called Kundalini yoga, mm-hmm. which is directly related to the chakras, where all the different kriyas or sets of exercises that are done are like that. And what we call, when we greet each other, we say the word Sat Nam, and that means I am truth, or the truth is me. And it also means that you're bowing to the teacher within, because when we do a deep bow at the end of class, we're told you're not bowing to the instructor, you're bowing to that teacher within, because again, healing is an inside job, and it's up to us to take these self-care measures to try to maintain as balanced life as possible.
You know what? One of the things, Tim, that I have to say, I appreciate so much about you. I mean, there's things that I appreciate about you. Folks, Tim and I have known each other for several years. There's a gift that you have that I don't know if you're aware that you do. And I'm under the presumption that there's someone listening out there that's going to be like, yeah, okay, you know, after I say this, right, and they're nodding, you know, is the power of the words that you choose to use. So you have this gift of bringing quotes. You have a gift of looking at words and phrases that have a deeper meaning. And even now with this explanation here about the power within and then who do we bow to, it is at a different level and at a deeper level than I think that what most people are used to. And I say that it's such a gift, Tim, because even on our chats, as well as today in the PTSD and Beyond podcast, you always bring these things to people's awarenesses. And I really do believe that there's a person who's listening right now that's saying, you know what, that makes sense to me. And it's what I needed to hear. And it's what resonates with me, not like, oh, yeah, I get it, but like, wow, I really, really get it. Their light bulb is illuminating. And folks, I want to also share with you that Tim is the president and founder of Chandani. Explain to us what that word and phrase means. Again, this is one of those things that, again, you're so gifted. Tell us about it.
Yeah, the business thing that I started, and it's basically going to be a wellness consulting and fitness education business. And I call it Chandani Life. And Chandani is an Italian phrase. And when I originally chose a business name, I was going to go for federal trademark status. And my actual company name is A Balanced Life, LLC. But as a business name, that wasn't going to work for the federal, the patent and trademark office because it's just too common name. So when I was sitting there with my wife, Judy, talking about this, she said, well, why don't you honor our Italian heritage that we have? And I don't know, whatever, it just came to me, the word Centani, and Centani means, and that's proper Italian, Centani, it means the 100, basically. In our, like our region or our dialect that we come from, we say Cendan. And if you've ever watched Criminal Minds, you have Joe Mantegna that has used that as a toast. And basically what that means yeah. when he says Cendan, it means may you live 100 years. So, you know, when I talk about that, or I had it at one point on my website, we can't guarantee that you're going to live 100 years. But, you know, if you're willing to take the journey with us, we'll try to help you establish a quality of life, a better quality of life for yourself.
And that's what I mean as far as when I meant that you're really gifted and skilled. You think about these things and present quotes and information that have layers of meaning for people. So even like right now, there might be a listener who's saying, you know what, I might not statistically live that long, but there's something about saying this phrase here, Cent'anni. Cent'anni life. Every word and phrase has an energy vibration to it. And like we talked about the throat chakra. So maybe someone's having challenges with communication. And so they can pick out phrases. They can go, and folks, I'm going to have some of this stuff posted on the summary for PTSD and Beyond, where you can look and see some of these key phrases as well as in the blog post too, of the stuff that Tim's talking about, because then you can see the power of the spoken word. You can see the power of what energy practice can do for yourself with trauma recovery, with mental health and mental wellness, and overall wellness. So Tim, before we end our conversation today, what's another key takeaway for folks? If you were to say to someone who's listening right now, who's like, you know what, can you just give me one more thing before the podcast ends that's going to help me, what would that thing be?
Well, when we're all on our own unique journey through this life, and we all have different experiences or different things, but when you're on this, you're listening to this podcast or you participate in this chat, you know, it's because you have issues with post-traumatic stress or some type of mental health or behavioral health issue. And it really, to make this world a better place to live for ourselves and others, it's going to take bringing together like-minded individuals who are going to try to make that shift in this world towards it. Because right now, our world in general, it's been chaotic for, you know, probably centuries, for a long time. But, and this is what Yogi Bhajan, who brought Kundalini Yoga to the United States, said, that we're like in the gray period of our life. And this is what my instructor talked about. She said, there's this gray period. And when we, if you believe in reincarnation, when we incarnate or reincarnate, we have chosen our life. We chose our parents because we had lessons we needed to learn that we didn't from our past lifetime. But it's really about, you know, you don't want to beat yourself up on any given day. It's the human experience. We're human. We're not, it's never, ever, ever going to be a perfect world. And I'll say that even though I do all this work with myself, I still have my moments where I could get that anxiety. And it's been the last week or two with my dog being really ill. I'm just so fearful that he's going to have a total relapse and go back to where he was, instead of just surrendering to the universe that all is going to be well, or asking the universe for assistance in this matter. And, you know, again, the way I put it is, do the best you can with what you have in each moment to make this world a better place to live. And you can't ask for anything more than that, than to do that. And I have many personal training clients that do Doctors Without Borders. Mm-hmm. They run their own foundations where they raise money for different causes that need help. And it's just totally made me a better a better person than I was the day before, the week before, the year before.
And that's a great quote to end our conversation with. It's made me into a better person than I was yesterday and than I am right now. So it sets ourselves up for what we think about in the moment as well as what our future is. So my past might be one thing, but my present moment and my future can look like something else. Folks, let's give a heartfelt shout out again to Tim Grucius, as I say that, because I don't want to say it how I said it before. Maybe we shouldn't get some laughs from people. But Tim, thank you so much for joining us today. And folks, I'll post Tim's information as far as if you want to contact him, his email and website. Tim, what exactly is your email real quick?
It would be the centannilife@gmail.com. So centannilife@gmail.com.
centannilife@gmail.com. And again, folks, I'll have Tim's website and all his social media information up for you to go ahead and look at on the summary. Feel free to give him a shout out and a contact. And if you do, remember to mention that you heard about him on PTSD and Beyond. Tim, thanks again so much. And folks, we'll see you again next time. This is Dr. Deb. Make it a great week.